So, do you have any questions about this second type of fortitude? Yeah.
You're talking about the disadvantages and that we create negative karma, we keep positive karma from ripening. The third piece of that we destroy our positive karma, I think is kind of how you put it. Well, how does that correlate to what we do in purification, where we kind of are minimizing or mitigating, you know, our negative karmic? So, can't quite have the meter work, because it means we kind of actually destroy the positive karma.
Okay, so you're asking if positive karma can be diminished, or the result of it can be reduced or even destroyed by anger or wrong views, then what about purification practice? Yeah, what are we doing to the karmic seeds of non-virtue when we're purifying? It's the same thing. Yeah, they can be reduced, they can be diminished, they can be destroyed. Destroyed doesn't mean that the karmic seed is not there at all, okay? The karmic seeds of non-virtue aren't totally eradicated from the mind stream until we realize the nature of reality directly. But before that, either what was going to be a big suffering becomes a small suffering, what was going to ripen soon ripens later, a suffering that was going to endure a long time ripens, you know, in a short time. Or if you do very intense purification, it's like burning the negative karmic seed, so it can't ripen at all. The seed's still there, but it's a burnt seed. Okay, then when you realize emptiness directly, it's taken out of the mind stream, it's eradicated. Okay?
Mm-hmm. I have been thinking about what you said last week. I think it's the first time I ever put together that PAXC patients actually means having a happy mind, not just stopping the anger.
Yeah.
And so, I've seen some improvement in actually putting a damper on the angry thought, but I sure haven't gotten to happy mind yet. So I'm just kind of curious in the practice part of progressing from anger to happy mind. Like, what is that in the middle, and how negative is that?
Okay. So your question is that practicing patience isn't just putting a damper on anger, it's also generating, it's also having a happy mind. But at first, when you practice patience, it's all you can do just to not get angry. Mm-hmm. And that's true. You know, it's like, You're you know, up to your neck and you're paddling as fast as you can not to get angry. Mm-hmm. Well, that's good, because you're already saving yourself a lot of misery. So rejoice at that. Give yourself some credit for that. Okay? As you practice more, and as you really, you know, the whole bodhisattva attitude seeps into you, then you can start saying, oh, I'm suffering, that's wonderful. Oh, somebody criticized me, fantastic. Oh, I didn't get what I want, that's great. You know, and the reason you're able to rejoice and feel happy is because your belief in the law of karma and its effects has gotten very deep. And so you really, really firmly believe that, you know, when you're experiencing pain, your negative karma's ripening and it's finishing, and you're so eager to have it finished so it's not polluting your mind and it can't ripen in even worse suffering in the future, that you're just delighted. Yeah? So to have that happy mind like that, it entails really believing in karma. And we talk a lot about karma, but we don't always live our life as if we believed in it. Because when negative karma ripens, we don't always say good. And when we have the opportunity to be generous, we don't always take it, because we don't really believe in karma. Yeah. So a lot of this depends on, you know, over time, really developing a stronger and stronger conviction in the law of karma and its effects. Yeah.
I've noticed a lot that anger is sort of sneaky, like not the gross kind, but sort of the irritation and annoyance kind, and it seems to be very mixed for me with confusion, where I think I'm in a situation I need to do something about, and then it turns into a rumination, and then I realize that I'm irritated or annoyed. I'm trying to think about getting better at recognizing it's still in the discerning whether or not it's a situation where I really need to deal with it with someone or not, and do you have any advice about getting better at recognizing when to take action and when to...
Okay, so you're saying that a situation will happen, you get confused about if it's one you have to deal with or not, and so then you'll get irritated and ruminate and stew in the whole thing. So how to recognize whether it's something you have to deal with or not? I think maybe let's reverse the order here. A situation happens that you don't like. Instead of making the next step, do I have to do something about it? Make the next step, what is my reaction in my mind? Okay, and look at the reaction in your mind. And if your mind's getting upset or angry or feeling sorry for itself, deal with that. And when you've dealt with that, then you'll know whether it's a situation that you need to say something about or not. Okay? Because then you'll know, you know, once your own mind's not angry, well, maybe I don't need to do anything, I'm not angry. Or maybe the situation's still there and somebody else is inconvenienced. And so you know, oh, well, I do have to say something for the benefit of somebody else. Okay, so let's dedicate.